You found the number one internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Good morning, this is Maria Sanchez, and welcome to the Maria Sanchez Show on LATalkRadio.com. Thank you so much for joining us. It is Thursday, April 25th, and if you're listening live, we appreciate that. You're one of the few because we're flying under the radar this whole week, making sure that we've got the kinks out of the system. I'm not the most technologically savvy person on the planet, so I'm just wanting to make sure that I'm not making mistakes and having others listen to it. Next week will be our official launch. And we're going to give you the top five news stories and go into the details a little bit later, but we've got an astrosexologist that's going to be visiting with us because she does that every month when the zodiac sign changes. And according to Kiki T, today there's a full moon with a solar eclipse, whatever that means. The stories that we're following, of course, are there more revelations with the Boston Marathon bombings. Lots more details about that. President George W. Bush's unveiling of the Presidential Center is occurring right now on the campus of SMU. It's 25 acres, his facility in Dallas, Texas. All five living presidents are there. That would be President Carter, President Bush Sr., President Clinton, and President Obama. Riots yesterday in France after the French Parliament approved same-sex marriage, and Rhode Island is in the news for the same reason. Sugary drinks linked to an increase in developing diabetes, and the 50 states, which are the happiest and which are the most stressed, and there's a study that depression can be contagious. So we are going to call not that number. Here we go. Here's Maria with her technology. We're going to call, how am I calling? I'm looking to call. Let's see. Sam, how can I call? Oh, here we go. There's a call button. Call. No, it's, oh, here. This is what I need. Here we go. So, Maria, oh, here we go. Now I can do something. Let's see. Sorry for this, everybody. So, here we go. Call a phone number. Okay, you're listening with me. Thank you so much for for your patience. Enter number. Here we go. Enter the number. Oh, here we go. I think I'm figuring it out. Here we go. Yep. Let's see. Sam's helping me. So we're calling New York because Kiki T is visiting with us this morning, and Sam is helping me figure this out. There we go. Thank you, Sam. And dial. All right. Excellent. Thank you so very much. Okay. And we'll see. Kiki T should be there.
Hello.
Hi. Good morning, Kiki T. It's Maria Sanchez. Hi. You're on the Maria Sanchez Show. Thank you for your patience. And now it's afternoon to you. You're in New York, yes?
Uh-huh.
Would you tell our listeners first, before we go into the details about the full moon solar eclipse as well as the changing sign of the zodiac this week, what is an astrosexologist, and did you create that title?
Yes. Okay. I am the one and only astrosexologist. I came up with the term astrosexologist when I became the astrological columnist for Playgirl back in 2003 or 2002, and I wanted to just kind of specify and specialize in a certain type of astrology, kind of like, you know, you go to a specialist doctor if you want to have just a little more information. So I like to specialize just on sex, love, relationships.
And how does astrology, in general, there are people who are believers and there are people who aren't. And I think, was it J.P. Morgan that said that millionaires don't believe in astrology, but billionaires do?
Yes. And like every astrology book that's been written like after his death has had that quote in it, like including mine, Celestial Sex Pot. It has that too in the intro. Yeah, there's a certain science to how astrology is done. It's not just like, oh, I'm born under Scorpio and that's it. There's a whole, it's all where all the planets were when you were born, because essentially your birth chart is a blueprint of the map of the sky the night that you were born or the day you were born, the exact moment that you were born, that's what the sky looked like. So that is when it's like read correctly, can tell you information about it.
And does it tell you things that you can predict, or does it tell you trends, or how do you work in that regard?
It sets up, I believe it's like, in life there's a mixture of free will and just, I feel like astrology is just kind of like, it's like a weather, report, except it's energy. So if you know it's going to be sunny out, you plan for a picnic. It doesn't necessarily change anything about your day, it's just going to make things go smoother. So same thing with astrology. It's like if you know there's a bad aspect for, like, say, Venus, which rules beauty, is backwards, it's like, you wait off from trying a new haircut. And, there are specific, rules and stuff that say, like, oh, yes, you can if it's someone from the past, because retrogrades deal with the past. But, it's not a time to, like, try something new. So it's like the same thing. It's like you can still do it. It's not saying that, like, oh, you're going to go get a haircut and they're going to accidentally, like, cut your head off or something like that. But it's just saying, like, oh, if you go during this time, you might have, like, an easier time getting what you want. And that's kind of like the basic idea of like astrology. It's just like weather. It's like instead of clouds and stuff, it's the cosmos.
Tell me, how is it that you got into astrology? How did that become your passion?
Well, I got into astrology when I was 11 years old, and I was obsessed with Duran Duran. I was a Durani. I think that dates me at this time. I'm like, oh my god, I think people like that are teenagers now don't even know who they are. But I was obsessed with them, and like, in teen magazines, they always have, like, name, horoscope, sign, whatever. And I noticed that me and Simon, who I was completely in love with and obsessed with, was also a Scorpio. So for me, I was like, I need to know more. What does this mean? And, like, for me, in my, like, 11-year-old mind, it was like, oh, this must mean that we're meant to be. So there you go. It's like, in true Scorpio form, I, like, got into something because I was a little psychotic.
Well, and then how did you train yourself?
I just learned. It's like, you just read a lot of books. Actually, I did read the Cosmo Bedside Astrologer when I was 11, and I bought this book called Sex Signs. So I was, like, very interested in the romance aspect of it from a young age. So, like, but yeah, I definitely started learning on those kind of things. And actually, this summer I will be taking over the column for Cosmo for Latinos. So if there's anybody that reads Cosmo for Latinos out there, definitely check out the horoscope column.
And does it vary by race, the prognostics?
No, it's like when you write for specific magazines. Like I wrote for Teen Vogue, I wrote for Jane. So it's like, you write for that specific audience. I write for the Frisky now. It's like, 20-something, early 30s girl that's like, more professional. And then I also, it's like if it's like a teen thing, it's like I relate things more to a teen, or if I relate something more to like, someone who's young and single, or if I write, like if I'm writing for some, like I wrote, like my first astrology column that I wrote was for a movie magazine,
mm-hmm.
and I used movie quotes, and like I wrote the horoscope like a movie review. So it's like, I just kind of changed the format. But I take the same substance and I just kind of like, package it differently. Because, it's like it's all going to be the same. It's just, depending on what your life is like, it's going to affect you in a certain way.
So do you write in general or gear your practice, if you will, towards women?
Yes, definitely. It's like, historically, astrology, I think, is something that mostly women and gay men have been into. Not really, like that's really the audience, I think.
Because I do have a couple of girlfriends that are fairly intuitive, and they see psychics and things, and they are always into signs and, you know, good potential mates and all that sort of. And I don't really know one way or the other. I'm kind of open about it. I've never really delved into it much, so I admire their point of view, if you will. But I don't know why somebody is more in tune with it than others. Is it something about their sign that makes them more?
There's definitely certain signs that are definitely more prone to kind of thinking in a more, you know, ethereal way about things. But it's kind of like, you know, not everybody likes meat. Not everybody likes the color red. It's just human psychology that, you know, people pick up different things that they're just kind of more attuned with. And like, you know, growing up as a kid, like, you know, right now, like, I remember, like, oh, I was always into, like, you know, the idea of ghosts, like wondering about the afterlife and things of that nature. And I think metaphysics and all of, you know, astrology and everything that falls under that umbrella just kind of goes into that kind of mode of thinking. That's where you're going to go seek answers for questions that, like, you have. So, I mean, I just kind of fell into it. It felt very natural. I didn't go through a question of, like, you know, is this real? Isn't this real? I mean, there's always a level of skepticism that I have in my head about everything and stuff. But, you know, it's like I always kind of get proven time and time again that, like, whoa, this stuff is crazy, you know?
So somebody who's listening and has heretofore thought it's just about what month and day you were born.
Oh, no. So, yeah, everyone has two birth charts when they're born. So your birthday sets up your solar chart, which means the day you're born gives you a sun sign, and it sets up, like, the home base of your chart, basically.
Okay.
It's like the chart is a circle comprised of 12 different sections, you know, and then the first house is your identity house. So usually base that on the day you're born, and then in your natal chart, it's based on the time you're born. So the time you're born is just as important as the day you're born, because every 2 hours it switches signs over the... How it works is on the eastern horizon, there's a constellation that's always coming up and you know, changing. So for rising sign, it's coming over the eastern horizon. So it changes every 2 hours. It goes through all the signs. So, you know, even though, like, I'm a Scorpio, the Scorpios tend to be very quiet, very, you know, more like, you know, strategic with their thinking and stuff. And I'm someone that just, like, talks and you know, can be very reactionary and stuff. And I knew I was a Gemini rising before I actually was a Gemini. The first time I did my chart, I had my time of birth wrong. And I was like, so for a couple of years, I thought I was a triple Scorpio. And then I was like, wait a second, this doesn't seem right. You know, intense. Like, Scorpios can be very intense, and even though I felt like I was intense, I was like, I don't come across intense, and I talk really fast, I walk really fast, and, like, I have, like, ADD.
So what is the natal chart called? Is that the rising sun, rising sign, or what?
Yeah, and it's called natal chart.
But
natal chart and solar chart.
Okay, so those are the two keys to somebody really discerning who they are astrologically.
Yes.
And then,
that's what you really want to look at when you do compatibility, too. So, like, compatibility, it's like when you just find out, like, the sun sign and sun sign. It's like, that's cute, but it really doesn't say, you know, anything. It's like, you know, because any combination can work out together. It's just a matter of, like, what you're willing to, you know, what you want and what you're willing to pull up with and stuff. Because, you know, all relationships are going to have their struggles. So it's just, you know, finding which one kind of, like, complements you the best and, like, you know, accepts you the best.
In other words, it's not a deal breaker, but it's something to be aware of.
Yeah, it's like, okay, you're dating, like, say you're dating a Taurus and you're just like, oh, what is it? It's like, now that we've, like, you know, now we're actually a boyfriend, girlfriend, he doesn't want to do anything and I just don't want to sit around all day. It's like, okay, well, that is how a Taurus is, so it's like you need to be willing to always put up with, like, you know, like, kind of prodding your man to kind of go out and do things, and it's like, they will do it, but if you're someone that doesn't like having to, like, do that all the time, then this guy probably isn't going to be for you unless, like, you know, you find the trade-off good, but, you know, it's like, if you're with, like, a Gemini guy and you're with him, but you can't really stand that he, like, talks so much and, like, you know, he could be gossipy, it's like, okay, that's not a trait that's just going to go away. That's something that he's like, and you're going to have to kind of, you know, rectify that with, you know. It's like if you're an Aries dating a Taurus and a Taurus doesn't want to, like, do it, that's, you know, an Aries is always want to be on the go, on the go, on the go. Like, you know, they could also have, like, an Aquarius in their chart where they like hanging out with their friends, so it's not necessary that they have to have the relationship guy, the boyfriend, always be the one that's out with them. So it's like, you know, it's like a mixed mosh of different things that can work. I'm an optimist, so I always look for, you know, a reason for something to work out if it sounds like there's potential.
So tell me, how do you run your life? Are you married?
No.
Okay. So how do you run your social life looking for a man, say? I don't know if you have a boyfriend or not, but even if you do, how did you find him, or what? How do you let yours?
I mean, I don't personally, like, go out hunting for certain, like, signs or whatever. And actually, if when I meet someone and I like them, I don't want to know that information, because it's like it's so ingrained in the way that I think. I don't want to, like, just start pigeonholing that person, because, mm-hmm. like, it's different for someone who isn't an astrologer to, like, kind of use my tips to do stuff. But, you know, when it's me who's, like, who just, like, innately works in that way, it's like I want to kind of, because, you know, I have to be me and see how that person reacts to it. It's not just me, like, finding what their little personality's like, and you know. So it's like I still have to do me, and that's, like, my Scorpio-ness. And,
well, I would imagine it's the same with therapists, right? You don't want to have a relationship be a patient-doctor kind of situation. You want it to be a relationship. So, okay.
I mean, it's just, like, definitely when I'm with someone and I'm like, I do things that, like, I think that they will like, and I know that certain things are based, like, astrologically.
So,
like,
tell,
you know, gift-giving and, like, you know, sex and just different ways to kind of, like, enhance the relationship, but I can't put anything that's not inherently there already.
So talk to us today about this full moon solar eclipse.
Okay, so yeah, there's eclipses happening right now. There's eclipses are sudden harbingers of change. So when eclipses happen, and they happen in, like, two sets of signs, like opposite signs. So right now we're in a Scorpio Taurus change right now, and so it's a full moon Scorpio. So over the next, like, it started last year on November 13th, 2012. And then it's going to be continuing into 2015 every 6 months. So depending on where Scorpio and Taurus falls in your chart, it could create some kind of major transformation of some sort, because Scorpio is a sign of passion, sex, intensity, and death. So usually it means, like, really just kind of like getting to the bottom to kind of get to the top. And Taurus is about stabilizing things and really creating, like, a solid foundation. So it's a lot of different, like, inner changes that are going to be happening. And I think this is also going to be compounded with, like, Saturn in Scorpio. So I think there's just, like, since Saturn has went into Scorpio, Saturn is the karma planet, and Scorpio is the planet of death and regeneration. And also with all these eclipses going on, I find it really crazy that all these insane events have happened over the last few months, have just kind of, like, are very Scorpio-themed. Like, I think the same week that happened was, like, the sex scandal with Petraeus, and then Hurricane Sandy happened. It's just, like, you know, the cleaning out of, you know, just, like, destruction and just kind of regeneration.
So this event that you're talking about, this phenomenon, that it's occurring every 6 months, and is today one of those 6 months?
Today is the Scorpio one, full moon eclipse. So
what does that mean to the average person, that you should or shouldn't?
It depends on what sign they are. So it's like for Scorpio, that's going to deal with, like, a personal change, some kind of, like, thing that can affect their ego. With someone that's, like, a Sagittarius, it could be dealing with something from the past and finally closing it out. With the Capricorn, it could be a severing of a friendship, because that's where it is in their chart. With the Taurus, it could be end of a relationship or a new beginning. You know, it could be the end as in, like, oh, someone could get engaged at this time. A lot of, like, for Scorpio and Tauruses specifically, during these times is usually the time where, like, major relationship changes happen. Divorce, marriage, engagement, moving in, finding the person that you're with, usually happens in those cycles. And at the end of the year, more towards August, Aries and Libra is going to be starting their eclipses. So that's also going to be on a six-month cycle, and that's also going to be changes with, like, you know, relationships and personal identity. So it's usually career and relationship, because it's like the first house and the seventh house as far as, like, astrological places. First house rules identity, seventh house rules relationships, committed relationships.
Now, I know you're speaking English, but the concepts are, like, flying over my head. Cause
really? Oh, it's like I thought I was, like, I thought I'm good at, like...
Well, because you're the seventh house and all that. It's like, I don't know what the heck that means.
Okay, so, yeah, because I explained it afterwards. It's just, like, it's the commitment house. So it's, like, these two areas in your life are the places that will be affected.
And that's true regardless of who's listening? It has that effect on all
no,
the humans on the planet?
No, Scorpio and Taurus. But where it falls in your chart,
mm-hmm.
Everyone has it in a different section. Like, everyone in their chart has all 12 signs. Not all 12 signs are going to be occupied with planets, because, you know, there's only a certain number of planets, and they can't all just be spread out. So for each sign, Scorpio falls in a different part in their chart. So where it falls in their chart is where it's going to be, like, there could be, like, that strife. So, you know,
so,
like I said, like, Sagittarius, it's something in the past. With Capricorn, it's usually something with friendships, ideology, technology. Capricorn, you're a Capricorn, right?
I am.
Scorpios have good memories. So
yeah, I was going to say, Mike.
Huh?
My goodness, Kiki, I'm impressed. As an aside, Kiki's been my astrosexologist correspondent for, I don't know, it's been 6 or 7 or 8, 9 years or something.
You were the first radio interview I ever did.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. My book had come out, and they, the publisher had set up, and I was just like, I was so excited. I had to wake up really early, and I was just like, you know, it's like my friends all texted me like, oh, how did it go? And everything. Now if I do anything, like, no one talks, like, no one asks me anything.
Well, because you've been on so many, and television too.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been really fun.
It's been quite the career. So in terms of, you're talking about the 12, you know, what do you call those? Sections, charts, houses?
12 signs, yeah. It's like they're each astrological signs, and they each rule a section that comprises a circle, that comprises a chart. So it's like everyone has all those components in there. They just don't necessarily have it lit up with stuff.
In other words, it doesn't have a priority over influencing things?
Like, okay, so you're a Capricorn, so you were probably born with, like, planets that were, you know, like, you might have been born with, like, Mercury in Sagittarius, or Mercury in Capricorn, or Mercury in Aquarius, because it's close by. But, like, Cancer is the seventh sign. It's, like, the opposite sign of your house, so it's on the other side. And no planets might have been in Cancer when you were born, so it might be empty.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean that, like, it doesn't have any influence, because it still rules a certain part of your chart, so it's just not, like, active. It's kind of like a room in your house that you have, but you don't use it that much, but it still plays a part in the whole house.
Good analogy. I like that.
Yeah.
So tell me, let's get, before we run out of time, your book, The Celestial Sex Spots Handbook, is still available?
Mm-hmm.
So it's astrological.
It's on Kindle, too.
Okay, good.
And, like, e-book, and you can get it on your iPhone and stuff.
And mine is very weathered and thumbed through. I can't tell you how many times I've looked in it over the years. But it's the subtitle is Astrological Tips for Satisfying Seduction and Ultimate Love.
Yeah.
And it's
the book
written...
covers the A to Z of, like, everything you need in a relationship, from spotting them to dumping them to, like, figuring out what was that good for.
You mean, are you asking me?
No, what I'm
you're just
like,
rhetorically.
Yeah.
And so, but our listeners should know that you've written this for women about the potential men in their lives.
Or a gay man, like, you know, either, it's like anyone who wants to get in a relationship with a man.
Okay. And because it's geared towards what men do.
Yes.
And
like
how men
I don't give tips that are necessarily, like, gender-based.
Mm-hmm.
except for with the object of affection. So any gender can read the book and be like, okay, this works.
Gotcha. Now, let's talk about the signs. We just changed signs. So where are we in April?
We're in Taurus now. The sun went into Taurus on the 20th of April, which was on Saturday.
So this is the first week of Taurus.
So, yeah, Taurus, and also, like, Venus is in Taurus right now. Mars is in Taurus. Mars is the planet of motivation. Venus is the planet of love. And Venus is actually the ruler of Taurus also. So it's very Taurus energy where everything's kind of more, like, slowed down. And, like, I don't know. I mean, I feel it, too. It's like everything's just kind of working at a slower pace, and people are just kind of, like, enjoying life a little more and, like, being a little more relaxed.
But Taurus is a bull.
Taurus is a bull, but a bull needs to be prodded before the bull goes, you know.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So they have to be provoked.
Like, so, yeah. So, like, the average, like, Taurus, they're very patient. It's like patience is one of the virtues of a Taurus. A temper is, but they need to be brought to that place. And once they're brought to that place, forget it. They never come back. You know? It's like with Tauruses, it's just like they're totally rock solid, and they give you a very, like, wide margin of error to, like, you know, like, that's personally what I think, too, to, like, you know, get them mad. But once they get there, I feel like, okay, there's a point of no return with them. Whereas, like, other signs, like, you know, Pisces, it's just like they'll forgive you. I mean, they can be a little, like, crazy, too, about it, but, like, they're very compassionate, so you could always kind of appeal to a Pisces guilt to kind of bring them back around.
But
a Taurus, it's like, no, once they go there, forget it.
Then they're committed,
regardless. It's like they're mad and, like, they actually have to express it. It's like, forget it. Like, you know, it's like the bull will charge you and, like, keep charging until they get their way.
Uh-huh. Kiki, do you work with people in terms of consulting, or how do people avail themselves of your skills and your talents?
Through my website, people can contact me, fortunekiki.com, and then also just by word of mouth. I do a lot of readings, and actually, I don't know if out in California they have Life Booker, but it's like a Groupon, but it's like more beauty supplies, lifestyle stuff, and I did a special on that like 2 years ago, and I got bombarded with people, and I did like over 160 readings.
Wow.
From it. And it was amazing. It was really amazing. And it, oddly enough, like the phone readings were kind of more on than some of the ones on in person. Like this one that I did over the phone, she had extra time. So we were just doing like, oh, general, what should you know? And I was like, oh, I also do tarot cards. Like I do both when I do the readings. And I was like, oh, there's going to be a new job opportunity. Someone's going to come and offer you a lot of money. And she's like, oh, cool. She was just like, I don't know who that could be. I'm not really looking right now. And then she called me the next day because, like, somebody, a headhunter, called her the next day and offered a job for her to do what she was doing, but they were going to pay twice as much.
Oh, my goodness. So I know therapists now, too, are doing phone sessions also.
Uh-huh.
It's
you can do Skype, too, with the phone. With the
oh, right, Skype also. And can you give us a range of your fees?
Like sometimes I have specials where I do half an hour phone for $75.
And you want to
in person, it's more. And then like so it's just like if you do an hour, it's $150.
Okay. So I'm gonna quick put you on hold because somebody's calling in which is my next guest. And
okay.
Oh no, there you are. Okay. So I don't have to do that. I just wanted to have your contact information for people. So
okay.
Your website?
FortuneKiki.com.
And you want to give a phone number too or no?
No.
Okay.
I just get in touch through email.
Okay. Kiki, thank you for your time. We'll visit next month when the signs change.
Okay. Good luck with the eclipse.
Thank you. Kiki T. Bye-bye. The astrosexologist, who is the only one in the world. And her book, again, is The Celestial Sexpots Handbook. And, you know, technically Maria is going to try and do this again. She's going to make a call. Call our next guest. call a phone number. Here we go. There's a thought. Okay. So excuse the technical glitches because Maria is, she's known for not being handy that way. So we're calling Steve Thomas. Steve Thomas is going to tell us why he's speaking to us, so I won't reveal that. Here we go. But he is also Steve Thomas BMW, and he is a philanthropist in the community, and we're helping to promote something that he's responsible for. So this is, if he answers the phone. Steve.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, Steve. It's Maria Sanchez with the Maria Sanchez Show. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Maria. How are you doing?
I'm great. All right, before we get into what's going on in the community and one of your generous outings again, you have been active with the CBs because you served our country. Thank you very much. And you were active with the establishment of the CB Museum. Would you tell our listeners about that? Because that's a point of interest if they happen to be in Southern California.
Yes. I joined about 8 years ago the CB Historical Foundation, which comprises of about 20 to 25 business entrepreneurs, former CBs, former officers. I think we have 4 retired admirals that are also on the foundation. And we started about 5 or 6 years ago to raise $15 million. And we did, and we built the museum, the new museum. It was in an old Quonset hut for years out at the Fort Wayne base. And we were able to put together, we reached all over the United States for fundraising, and we actually had a national spokesperson of the name of Dick Buckus, who's a friend of mine, who had to help us with that. And we were successful. We raised our $15 million, and we built the museum out of Fort Wainini, and we are currently getting the exhibits updated. The exhibits are very, very important. Now, the legacy of the CBs is something that they started in 1942, and it's quite the outfit. They have to be trained as Marines, but they have to build and work just as construction people. So it's
you know
a very, very...
Steve, I didn't know that the CBs actually also are trained in combat.
Absolutely. We when I did my time, we actually went to Camp Pendleton for 4 weeks and went through 4 weeks of Marine training there. And when I went to Vietnam and Tet Offensive in 1968, for 2 months we had to serve as Marines instead of construction. So we actually served as Marines for the first 2 months in Vietnam, and then after that we had our equipment arrive, and then we were able to build roads and bridges and et cetera.
Which is fascinating, and I'm glad you're sharing that with the listeners, because I just thought CBs were construction, and then I was there at the opening of the museum, and I was like, wow, I didn't, you know, you don't think about that, but that's, it's, what other branch is that multifaceted?
Exactly. It's really kind of a unique thing. The CBs have a work ethic when they're deployed, when they're in country, we call it, but it's a 7-day-a-week job. You work from the time the sun comes up to the time the sun sets down, and sometimes through the night. But if it's something that has to be done, they come in and they build a bridge, a temporary bridge, a permanent bridge. They build features for the troops. They build airstrips. They build build roads, and they even go in and make out landing zones. Our battalion in '68 actually got the honor to serve with the 101st Airborne, the first time ever a CB unit was to support the airborne in lieu of the Marines. So that was kind of interesting. They didn't know, the 101st Airborne really did not know what we did. They had never seen CBs because we, in the history of the CBs, we were always with the Marines. So It was quite interesting.
Now, do you still have your golf tournament?
We don't have. We had that for 4 years. We raised almost $750,000. We called it the Butkus, and we had it for 4 years. And it was quite successful. We've had a lot of demand, a lot of conversation regarding maybe doing one again, and we probably will do that in the near future. We'll try to have another one,
and
maybe
Steve,
a series of 2 or 3.
Did you do the golf tournament? Was that also to benefit your fundraising efforts for the CB Museum?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
That was essential. That gave us almost $750,000 just for that alone. We've had a lot of local supporters. A lot of the money that came donated. We've had a lot of people remember Bud Smith from Oxnard that owned NBS Inc. Business, Martin B. Smith, who passed away several years ago. But his Foundation was quite generous, one of our larger donations they gave us. And his daughters, one of them serves on our foundation, and also still assist in helping us make it successful. So we have a lot of roots from Ventura County. There's a lot of former CBs in Ventura County, and we really look for their support, and they do come out and support the CBs immensely.
And Dick Butkus, former NFL star, is a personal friend of yours?
He's a personal friend, and we had him to do a tour of the base several years ago to see. He had really not heard of a lot of CBs, and didn't know quite what they did. So he spent like 6 hours out at the base and looked and saw what they had done, and he was very instrumental in us raising the money. We kicked off our campaign 7 years ago on the Forbes yacht back in New York in the harbor, and Dick was there to kick it off, and since then has done several appearances and things, and did the golf tournament for 4 years.
Nice.
So he was very instrumental in helping us out.
So now let's talk about this next wonderful thing that you're doing. Minnie of Camarillo and Steve Thomas BMW, who Steve Thomas is who we're speaking with, and thank you for making the time to visit with us this morning. I understand your campaign has kicked off, but it's still ongoing, so we wanted to help get the word out.
Yes, we'd like to encourage all military families. We have a promotion going. It's called Thanks a Bunch. It's a military appreciation, and for every military family, they don't have to be interested in a car. They don't have to buy a car. What we'd like to do is just they come in and show their military current ID, and we give them a certificate for $50, good for any restaurant. There's 18,000 restaurants participating in this across the country, but there's within about a 10-minute drive of our stores, there's 48 restaurants that are involved in it, and they can take that card, and it's good for $50 for dinner for their family. And it's just our way of saying thank you. And we're looking for something that we can give back to the military. And this is one of the things that we find are very rewarding. And me being a veteran myself, it really is kind of a great promotion that we came up with a few months ago. And we'd like to make sure we invite all the military people out there. We're set up with quite a few gift cards. And we'd like to encourage them to come by. They just come up, and we register them and give them see they verify their ID, and then we give them the card, and they're off and running, and you go have a nice dinner somewhere on us.
So to reiterate, you kicked it off a week ago Friday, which was the 19th, and the campaign or the giveaway is going through Tuesday, April 30th. They stop by your dealerships, Minnie of Camarillo and Steve Thomas BMW, show their ID, and they can be active or veterans, is my understanding.
Exactly. Just to have to show their ID, active or veterans, and we'd be happy to buy them dinner at any of the local restaurants.
And
at least put $50 for it.
Right. So it's a $50 dinner card, and as you mentioned, there are 48 restaurants nearby where your businesses are. I was at the groundbreaking, by the way, of your Minnie of Camarillo. So you're up and running.
Yes, we started in July, and we were expecting, and we did a performance when we opened it to be around 45 to 50 cars, and we've exceeded that, almost double. Last month, we sold 95 Mini Coopers. This month, we're on schedule to do 80 or 85.
Good grief.
And it's been accepted immensely. It's a great car, and I guess the best way to describe this car is just three word letter is fun, F-U-N. And I've had four of them up so far since July. I've been driving, and they're awesome cars.
Well, thank you for that, for what you're doing for our communities. And the campaign is called thanksabunch.org if people want to get information. And Steve, thank you for your time this morning.
Maria, thank you for calling us, and we really appreciate it. Again, invite all the military personnel to come out and see us. We've got a lot of the cards, and we expect to get them all away.
Perfect. Thank you, Steve. Thank you again.
I appreciate
your big heart. So that's one of the themes of our program is philanthropy and giving back. And one of my favorite slogans is, to whom much is given, much is expected. And there's a living example of that. And by the way, the Maria Sanchez Show, even though we're on the web and most of our topics are going to be of general interest because it's not going to be political in nature in general, we're going to talk about newsmakers, current events, lifestyle, health, relationships, and what's going on. But we're trying to focus as much as we can on the county of Ventura because it's overlooked. So just because I mentioned Ventura County doesn't mean that you don't need to be interested, because thanksabunch.org is a national campaign that's going on, but I'm trying to drill down and make it as local as possible. Because if you're not from Ventura County and you're not from Southern California, you probably haven't heard much of the county, because it's in between Los Angeles and Santa Barbara County. So it gets overlooked a lot, which I find interesting, because there's like almost a million people in the county. And, you know, we've got all kinds of things that go on, but because we've got big brother and little brother on either sides of us, the media from Los Angeles and Santa Barbara rarely covers what's going on in Ventura County. So that's why I say about the county, by the county, for the county. So next week we're going to have, for example, the sheriff of Ventura County has agreed to be on the program, and I'm going to try and get the, you know, the informational decision makers on the program to just to get a day in their life. But that doesn't mean that we're not going to cover national stories or state stories or international stories, which I'm going to start with the international stories. First of all, of course, the Boston Marathon bombing is in the news. And I'm going to go through a few things that you, if you don't know, they either happened either yesterday or last night or this morning. But the first one is that 16 hours after the investigators began interrogating him, the surviving suspect in the Boston Marathon bombings went silent. Why? Because he had just been read his constitutional rights. So he immediately stopped talking after a magistrate judge and a representative from the U.S. Attorney's Office entered his hospital room and gave him his Miranda warning. And people have confirmed that that happened. The briefing was private, so that wasn't like there was no fanfare involved with that. So obviously that's going to come into the 16 hours that he hadn't been read his rights, what he said, and how constitutional that's going to be, and et cetera. So there's news about that, the Sarnaya brothers, because the dad is on his way from Russia to the United States. The elder brother's body hasn't been claimed by anybody, so it's still lying in the morgue, and I believe that's probably one of the reasons he's coming. They said the mother was going to come, and then accordingly, she apparently has charges that hadn't been resolved in the United States, so she's not coming. And she's also gave an interview, and she's saying that they were set up, and that it wasn't blood on the streets, it was paint, and there were actors that did that, and body parts weren't really ripped off, and so she's I don't think she sounds like she's very well grounded. Also, they say that the elder brother was unemployed, and he made money by selling marijuana, their sources are saying. It was a remote control for a toy car that triggered the bombs, and that when the younger brother was apprehended in the boat in the neighbor's yard, that he was unarmed. No gun was found in the boat. I think, interestingly enough, it should be noted that both the elder brother, his wife, and their toddler daughter had received benefits, welfare benefits, and that was confirmed yesterday, but they were not currently receiving benefits. And the state also has confirmed, Massachusetts, that they received welfare benefits as children through their parents while the family lived in Massachusetts. So we have taken care of these folks while they were living here. This poor widow, Catherine Russell Sarnaya, is assisting the authorities as much as possible. She has gone through a transformation herself. They said she was like, you know, this normal high school student, and then she went to college and she dropped out of college, and she was not a regular member of the congregation of the Islamic Society of Boston, but she did wear the traditional Muslim headdress. And they say she knew nothing, and you're thinking, they keep talking about the small cramped apartment that they shared together in Cambridge. Well, the poor thing, she's 24 years old, she was working 70 to 80 hours a week as a home health care provider so that she could support her unemployed husband and their two-year-old daughter. Also, when the younger brother would visit, the brothers would speak to each other in a language that she didn't understand, so that's likely how it all went down without her knowledge. And they claim that they got the information how to build the bombs, the pressure cooker bombs, from a magazine called Inspire, which was created by an American Yemeni preacher a leader of the Al-Qaeda's affiliate in Yemen, and he was killed in a U.S. drone strike. So this man continues to inspire from the grave, is what they're saying or calling him, because of what he published and what's available online. Paris, they had riots yesterday. Why? Because, which I find interesting, that the French Parliament approved legislation authorizing same-sex couples to marry and to adopt children. So the vote made France the 14th country in the world to legalize gay marriage, and it has to be signed by law by the president in order for it to actually get enacted, but they're saying that he's a proponent of that. I thought it was interesting that there would be riots about, because Europe is very progressive in general, and this seems to me like a no-brainer, because we just had yesterday in our own country, Rhode Island is looking to be the 10th state in the country that is legalizing gay marriage. But they said that homosexual people were being beaten up. And this is a country, by the way, that there was a vote in 1960 that officially labeled homosexuality as a social curse. So look at the transformation that they've made in that amount of time. Personally, I'm a proponent of gay rights and gay marriage, hoping that the Supreme Court will disavow Proposition 8 that we had here, that we voted into, which I also find interesting because we're such a blue state and liberal state, and then when the definition of marriage, or the Right to Marriage Act, or whatever they're calling it, was passed, I was like, wow, I think that's fascinating. And I guess you could describe me, I'm socially liberal, but I'm fiscally conservative, but I've always been a proponent of gay rights. It's like, what does it cost me? If they get married or not. And the other one of the things I'm always fond of saying is, you know, us heterosexuals have done just such a bang-up job with the institution of marriage. We can't let anybody else in because they're going to besmirch this legacy that we've created, right? And having been married a couple times myself, I am the first to admit that I love the institution. I just haven't been really good at picking the right partners. So I'll take the responsibility in that regard. But one thing about California, which you may not realize if you don't live in California, is there's a saying that says, as it goes in California, it blows east. And why? What can we give historically? Well, it used to be illegal for interracial marriages to occur. California was the first state that allowed that to be legal. And 50 years later, you look back and you think, geez, how can you imagine that was against the law? So because we passed that, then the rest of the United States followed suit in its own time. And I'm hoping that that's going to be the same with Prop 8. So the Supreme Court, you know, as you know, it's on its docket, and it should be weighing in about that. They say no later than June, so we'll hear that. And in along that line in the news is this poor high school female PE teacher who taught at a Catholic high school. And I'm Catholic, so I'm not going to be bashing on Catholics here, but they need to get over it in that regard, because after 19 years of working at the school, she got fired because her female partner was listed as surviving family member in this teacher's mother's obituary, which how sweet was that they included her. So somebody tipped off the school, and the Roman Catholic Diocese of Columbus, Ohio, fired her. So there's a petition, if you care about this, created on change.org in support of this woman, Carla Hale, as a teacher, and it says, reinstate faculty member Carla Hale and apologize for discriminating against her on the basis of sexuality. She was a teacher who cared for her students and treated each one with respect. The diocese, however, did not reciprocate that respect in its treatment of her. As of yesterday, it had garnered over 55,000 signatures, and apparently she's really, really happy about that. You're listening to the Maria Sanchez Show. You can hear this broadcast later on latalkradio.com and also on themariasanchezshow.com. Please like our Facebook page, The Maria Sanchez Show, and check out our blog, themariasanchezshow.com.
Thank you for listening to The Maria Sanchez Show on LA Talk Radio and mariasanchezshow.com. Live every weekday morning, 9 a.m. Pacific, and on the net at latalkradio.com and mariasanchezshow.com.